the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
It's great to see you all this morning. Been an awful lot of body parts around, hasn't there, during the service? Eyes, ears, hearts. We're in the middle of a series where we are looking at the series is entitled Credo, which is a word which means I believe. It's a Latin word and means I believe. And we're working through some basics of the Christian faith, some essentials of what it means to be a Christian. And today we're looking at the idea of church and body. So far we've thought about the crisis at the heart of humanity. How people are born dead was the phrase of that section. How Jesus Christ is both man and God and is the solution, the answer to that need. His living and his dying and his rising again from the dead were the way in which we are rescued. We cover so much in each Sunday that we don't have time to go into all the detail we want. And so alongside this material, there is a website off the Belmont website. So that's our Belmont website. You can see the bottom right, the word Credo. If you click on that, you will head through to some supplementary materials which John Allen has been putting up there week after week for each topic. So if you want to read in more detail on any of those things we've talked about so far, then have a look on there. There's links to other websites, there's articles on there, and so on. Do take a look on there. We're also doing this material in home groups. And can I remind you, if you're leading the study, then tonight there's preparation for next time's home group at the study leader's own Bible study. The question is, all this stuff about body, all this stuff about church, there are many organisations where there are many different people who are part of an organisation. They come into a room, they do stuff together. What's the difference? Will the real church stand up? Is church something that looks like a church? Something that we expect to have a pointy top, have traditional windows? Is that what we think church should be? Or maybe the real church is people standing up on stage, preaching. That what church is really about. Or maybe it's about listening. You'll recognise some of these photographs, they're from the website, some folk on there. Just sitting and listening and being part of learning in church. Or maybe it's the institution of church we think of. The real church is the institution of church. Justin Welby and the Archbishop of Canterbury bringing lots of change into church. Or perhaps it's about social action in community, where we are making a difference in the world around us. That's what church is really about. That's what really matters in church. Or maybe it's about young people. We've just seen them dashing out to their groups, photograph taken a few months ago, heading off. Any church should be about young people. It's about seeing them learn at Sunday school and that sort of thing. Or maybe it's workplaces. We heard from the farmers at the Harvest Special, didn't we? People in their workplaces. And Brian reminded us about the front line. Church is out there. Church is where we are doing our lives. Or maybe church is all about worship. Not a sort of worship we might engage in with choir and so on here, but that's what worship, that's what church is about. The real church has a choir, people wearing robes. Or maybe, again, one of our own photographs, a different style of worship. Doesn't matter what your style is. It's a place where we come and we sing songs and worship. So many things we might think of that make the real church. So many aspects of church. But before we think about the bits of the body, let's think about what church is here for, why we have church. What is church really for? Last week, Derek was reminding us that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. If we're a Christian, the Holy Spirit enters the life of a believer, draws alongside and represents and brings Jesus to be with us. God does that for all who trust in Jesus Christ. He brings us into an individual relationship with himself. That's how it affects each person who's come to know Jesus. But throughout the Bible, God is working, it's like on a bigger canvas than my life or your life. God is working on a canvas that is about dwelling with his people. God is working throughout the whole story of the Bible to be a God who dwells with his people, who inhabits a space and a time with them and has a relationship with people. Not just one person, and we gather here individually, but with a community of people. From the very beginning, God was with Adam and Eve in the garden. God promised to Abraham that he would make a nation, and that nation would be his, and he would be their God. God promised in Exodus that he would bring the people out of Egypt, and he'd build a community, and he would be their God, and he would dwell with them, and they would be praising him and worshipping him. God promised after the Israelites had been taken into exile in Babylon that they would come back and they would be re-established as a nation, that he would be their God. That phrase comes up again and again and again throughout the Bible. I will be like their God and they will dwell with me. A phrase we sometimes use when we talk about God's big plan here at Belmont. We talk about God's work is about God's people in God's place under God's rule. So being a Christian isn't just about individualism, each of us having our own personal relationship with God. That is what it means to be a Christian personally. But part of God's big plan, his big canvas, is to bring us into relationship with him. And ultimately, at the very end of time, when the whole of creation is wrapped up, God says, the prophecy in Revelation says this: I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. From Genesis to Revelation, God is drawing a people into community, into relationship with himself, and serving him as his people. That is what it means to be the church. The church is the body, the community of Jesus, the people who follow, the body of believers who are God's people, serving him and worshipping him. As well as the joy and the challenges of our own individual Christian life, therefore, there is the joy and the challenge of our community life in church, as we get to practice, taste and learn what our life together will be like forever. So if you look at that Revelation passage again, that is what's going to be like. Church forever. Oh no, you might be thinking, really? No. But actually, if we are Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are going to be worshipping God, dwelling with him forever. That is what we're practicing for now. Sometimes that's great, isn't it? And sometimes you think, I could just do with a bit more space. But we're part of God's global community. Not just the church here, not even the church in Exeter. All who follow Jesus Christ are people who are in God's church. We have specific links with some folk, with the Molo Project in Kenya, with the Rawsons working on Logos Hope currently in the Gulf States, with Chrissy in Rwanda, with the Harrises in Mexico. We're working with some friends who we know better than others. But actually, any church you go to, any Christian you meet, is part of the church. Part of God's people in God's place. So the church is not just an institution, it's not a building, it's actually a group of people. A people who are doing life together under the leadership of Jesus Christ, under the lordship of Jesus, and worshipping the Father. So what does the Bible have to say about church? There's one passage we've had read to us, but actually we're going to skip around a little bit in Ephesians and a couple of other places, because the theme of community is threaded everywhere in the Bible. Firstly, the church is God's new community. I've emphasized that a lot. The church is where those who love Jesus Christ come together. In 1 Corinthians 12, which Guy read to us, just as the body is one and has many members, so it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The church is God's new community. If you're here today and you're in a church and you're not part of God's new community, then we're delighted that you're here having a look around at what that community looks like. and we hope we're behaving well. If you don't know Jesus Christ and you've not joined that community across the world, then that's the first step. To be baptized in one spirit. What a strange phrase. To be baptized in one spirit. It's just Bible language to say somebody who has become a Christian. Somebody who, as I said earlier, has the Spirit of God come and live in them. That's what church starts with. It doesn't start at 9:30 on a Sunday. It doesn't start with a program or a sermon or a song. It starts with acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord of individual lives and recognizing that we need his help. If you're not sure about that and just don't, you know, you like being in church, but you just don't understand that stuff, you don't agree with it maybe, you think, well, what's the problem? Why can't I just come to church? That's all I want to do. Then why don't you come and have a chat with me, or maybe come on a Tuesday night to our Christianity discussion group and explore some more of those things. What it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a member of God's new community. How that's different to just coming to church, to going to church. Some people will say the other side to me. They'll say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a churchy type of Christian. I don't go to church. I don't need to be a Christian. And I agree. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But by being a Christian, you're part of the church with brothers and sisters. It's going to be quite a shock when you get to heaven if you haven't met any of them beforehand. Why not take the opportunity to get to know folk beforehand? But you don't need to go to church to be a Christian? Absolutely not. So if church is the new community, the body of believers, the people who have come to know God, welcomed in to God's kingdom because of Jesus, then what does it exist for? Why have a church? Why do we do this? The church exists, I think, from what you see in Ephesians, to give praise to God. Not for its own benefit, the church is not there to build power or institutions, but it exists to give praise to God. Ephesians 1 has a long prayer from Paul about all the things God has done. And in the middle of that it says, in him, in Jesus Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. That we who are believers might be to the praise of his glory. The purpose of the church is to honour Jesus Christ, to point to God, not to make a reputation for itself. The Bible doesn't talk about church being an end in itself. A church exists to give glory to God. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. That's why Drew and Laura are doing what they do on the ships. That's why Florence is doing what she's doing in Molo. That's why Judith and Eglon are doing what they do in Mexico. Not because we want to be a church that has influence and reach and be known for all the great things we do. No. But because we want Jesus to be known for the great thing he has done. For the amazing thing he has done. The church is a reconciled and forgiven community. It's one which is called to live the way Jesus lived. It's a privilege. The church, if you like, is the embassy of God on earth. And we, if we're Christians, are the ambassadors. That's what the church is. It's the embassy of God, sent and living on earth, demonstrating what it looks like in the kingdom. When Jesus prayed before he was arrested, he prayed for the church. And he prayed for unity. Not just so they wouldn't argue, so they'd get on okay, and it wouldn't be difficult. But he gives permission to the world to look on at the church and go, are they living in the way that people who follow Jesus Christ should live? Are they loving each other and united so closely that they reflect what the Father and the Son are like? Trinity, together, united. Jesus prays that for his people. So no squabbling, no fighting. Resolve things, not uniformity. Love each other in grace. Serve each other in love. And Jesus says, that is how people will know that I have come. Verse 22 and 23 in John 17. I have given them, the church, the glory that you gave me, Father, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. So because of the church, the world will know that Jesus was sent by God. We're before a watching world. The way we speak about each other, the way we speak about church, the way we behave when we're together is all part of the picture that people get of who God is. Sometimes folks say to me when we are talking on the Christianity group, don't worry about church, look at Jesus. I know the church has got a track record that's not good, and that is true. We'll talk about that in a moment. Don't look at church, look at Jesus. I don't think that's right. Actually, we are called as church to represent Jesus and to live a life that witnesses to Jesus. Not just individuals, but together we are called to do that. Don't look at church as the institution. Okay, I agree. But look at church as body, as believers. We are rightly held to account for the way we behave with each other, the way we speak to each other, the way we give and love each other. When an orchestra plays together, who gets the glory? The conductor, the musicians, or the composer? Have you ever thought about that? Who plays the pieces? They may get glory for being good at playing the pieces. The conductor for interpreting the music in a certain way. But nearly always, people will talk about they're going to go and hear some Bach or some Beethoven. They're going to hear the composer played again. The glory goes back to the composer. In the same way with church, the glory goes back to God as we do our part and serve in the right ways. So if we're in God's community, we're gathered together, like today, people will see us and how we are and what we do. Whether we leave here glum, and that was a dull sermon, Clive, or whether we leave here smiling, thank goodness that's over, we can get out more and do the Sunday afternoons. Let's go to the beach. Whether we leave from events happy or challenged or learning, whatever it might be, how we leave here and live out our lives is the way in which people will bring praise to God. And it's not just the church gathered. You'll know from at the back there, the logo is still there, Life on the Front Line, and Brian mentioned it. We are the church scattered throughout the city, day after day, on our front lines, living the life of Christ, talking about what we did on Sunday, talking about how we relate to each other, living such that we serve other people. This is the body of Jesus. This is what people see when they look to see Jesus. They see us. So the church consists of God's new community, those who follow him. It exists to give praise to God, and it's designed to grow. The church is designed to grow. And that's what these gifts are all about. Not so everyone's got a job and that's great, like a great machine that's working well. It's designed to grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. I'm glad we didn't have to draw ligaments on here. That would have been quite tricky, I think. But lots of ligaments, as well as all these major organs, make the body work. Like all bodies, all healthy bodies, all living bodies, the church is meant to grow. And it grows by adding new people, by people coming to the new community and giving their life to Christ. And it grows by individuals maturing in Christ, growing up to reflect more of the image of Jesus. And every part of the body has a part to play in that. Each person here who is part of the church has a part to play. Whether that's a prominent role, a spectacular role, or a background role, whatever it is, each part is essential. Every bit of the body has to function effectively for the church to grow. The church in Corinth had got this completely mixed up. Because Paul had to write to them, they were basically saying, yeah, there are certain things that are really, really special. If you can speak in tongues, that's great. If you're a prophet, that's brilliant. If you can heal people, fantastic. In fact, there was competition almost to say, who's best at what? But Paul writes and says, All these parts are given by God, and everyone plays their part in the church. Every gift is given so that we may serve to give glory to Christ, not to build an empire for ourselves, not to lead the most effective, exciting ministry possible, not to do something that honours ourselves rather than honours Christ. If we're part of the body, we use the gifts God has given us to serve him. How do you know, though, where you should serve? It's all right saying there's lots of parts, lots of bits of the body, lots of things to do. God arranges them in order. It says in verse 18, but in fact God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So God has ordered things in the way he'd like them to be, to achieve his purposes. In the local church, in the global church, he's put people and gifts there. So how do you know? Are you an ear or an eye, a lung, a heart, an appendix, a stomach? How do you know what your role is in church? Well, I wonder whether it's actually easier than sitting down and wondering. And being a natural activist, it's more about trying it and giving it a go. Where has God called you? What passion do you have? How would you like to serve? And try it out. God has given you abilities and passions, desires to serve him in particular ways. And folk will give you feedback on that, or you might give feedback to somebody else. That was really good. Have you done more of that? Have you thought about that? It'd be good to hear more of that. The way you sit down and pray with people, love the way you do that. Such an encouragement. And we start to affirm and build each other up in Christ. And you'll recognise, and God will affirm in you, those things which he's given as gifts. It's too easy to think gifts equals jobs to do. And I don't think we should think like that. We should be looking at gifts as things that we are called in ways to serve and to get on with those things rather than vacancy lists. And that, I think, transformed my own view of what we are doing when we are serving, when we are working together as the body of Christ. Maybe you could pray about where you are serving. How can you be building up the body even more? Maybe you could be encouraging others to develop their gifts. I'm really grateful for all those who serve as trustees, thinking about employment and legal matters for us, thinking about health and safety. I'm not good at thinking about health and safety. I'm really grateful for those who visit the housebound and share communion, faithfully in twos and threes, just going to those who can't come out to share bread and wine with us. I'm grateful for those people who are out there now teaching our young people the Bible, having gifts of teaching and relating with young people. I'm grateful and excited about those who are helping the homeless and vulnerable to re-establish patterns of life, whether it's through the food bank or the YMCA, or just in their day-to-day work doing that stuff. I'm excited by those who explain the gospel clearly to others, by those who provide meals to families around the city when there's a new baby in the family, by those who take the responsibility of leading small clusters of God's people week after week in home groups, so on and so on and so on. Lots of places where gift is exercised, not just jobs done. Because in all those places, they are places where they lead to God's kingdom being better known because God's people are pointing to Jesus. Do you have a part to play? Yes, I believe everyone has a part to play. Everyone has a place because the Bible tells us this. God has placed all parts in the body to do the work. The rest of this metaphor is all about how we relate to each other. Well, don't really like your gift. My gift's the important one. That's no way to behave, is it? That's not loving and kind, putting other people first. But that's what was going on in Corinth, it seemed. If one says to the other, I don't need you, how can we hear? How can we see? Is that how we behave? No, of course it isn't. And that's not what I see around. I see people being built up and encouraged to try things out, to serve as God has called them to serve, to do what God has given them to do. God has placed the parts in the body just as he wanted them to be, because it's God's new community. It's not the leadership team's church. It's not the trustees' church. It's not Clyde's church or Derek's church or John Allen's church as members of staff or the staff team's church. It's not any of those. It's God's church. And he's arranged the parts as he wants them to be. And we serve one another and we love one another. There are many parts, but one body. The church is the body of Christ. God's new community. Are you part of it? Have you entered into that community of grace? The thrilling adventure of living life with God and with his people? The church is designed to bring glory to God, praise to Jesus Christ, through the way we are, through what people see of us. So let's serve one another as God has set about it and given us work to do, given us a role and a responsibility to love each other so the world may know that Jesus Christ has come from God. One of the marks of a healthy church is to be a worshipping church. And at the beginning of Acts, the early church sets the example there. And they talk about the apostles' teaching, they talk about caring for people and fellowship, and they talk about meeting regularly to break bread as an act of what a healthy church does. And that's what we're going to do now. So as I move down to the table there, just to take a moment and reflect on what God has been saying, and as we prepare ourselves to remember what God has done in Jesus Christ for us.